don't know if you saw this on 60 Minutes or not, but a report by an investigative subcommittee chaired by a Republican Senator Rob Portman showed that a Richmond drug company, Kaleo, which is privately held, it is not publicly traded, pushed up the price of its naloxone drug, Evzio, from like $500-something to $4,000. And they say they did it because of the demand in terms of opioid abuse. Art Kaplan joins us right now, our friend, director of the medical ethics program at the NYU Langone Medical Center. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. Good morning.
Tell me, I don't know if you want to start with this one or work back in terms of, well, let's start with this one. Is this primarily a drug of convenience or at least the administration of it? Because I understand you can get naloxone in a $15 version, you can get naloxone in a whatever the nasal injection spray is.
I don't have the cost
of that in front of me. You can also get $125 for a pack of two when it comes to the nasal spray. And then there's this that was $525, I think, for a pack of two, and they raised it to $4,000. Is there one that is easier to use, better than the other, or is this where you have some options of, well, if you don't want the $4,000 one, use another one?
You do have options, and you can use something else. However, the something else isn't always available. So if your pharmacy or your hospital or your sports field only carries this thing, this particular prescription, or their company that they get their drug coverage from says you gotta use this one, then choice goes out the window. So you could use something cheaper, and many places are clearly going to avoid buying something that costs 10 times as much as the next thing. But there are restrictions on what different, you know, pharmacies can offer, what different hospitals can offer. They may get a great deal out of this company, say a hospital, and just have this in stock, but they're going to charge you a huge deductible.
When it comes to this this guy, Shkreli, that wound up going to prison for something else, this was a public relations nightmare, just in terms of the way the guy looked and the way he carried himself. And I'm not saying that the wrong thing happened to him. But I guess what I'm asking is what he did any different than what this company is doing? And do they get to hide behind the corporate veil, if you will?
They get to hide. It's no different. It's basically price gouging. And the answer to the question, I think you started off talking by saying, why did he do this? Mm-hmm. Because he can. Because they can get away with it. You know, we have a lot of folks defending the free market all over there politically. And I like the free market as much as the next guy. But if the price of insulin, for example, which insulin hasn't changed its composition, I think, in 30 years, all of a sudden goes up from, say, $25 a vial to $300 a vial or more, they're price gouging out there, and the free market doesn't rein it in, because for a lot of these drugs, there's either a monopoly. That was Shkreli. He owned the medication that was useful for some infections that were associated with AIDS. Insulin, it's been up across the board, so you can't find anything cheap. It's market failure. It's not working right. Basically, too many companies have patents or monopoly control and can charge what they want, and they do. And they do it knowing that they're going to be putting the screws on people who need their drugs, but they don't care. They're greedy.
I'm sorry, sir. So if you put some kind of government regulation on it, the thing you always hear is, well, research and development is not going to exist as much anymore, that they aren't going to develop the drugs, it'll be a downside to the population, et cetera, et cetera. Your response to that?
Well, look, first of all, if you do research and development and you bring out new drugs and they cost $150,000 a treatment, then what good are they? So if it's going to cost us $150,000 per pill or gene edit or whatever the thing is, I don't consider that making new discoveries. Mm-hmm. I consider that finding something for the super rich, and the rest of us kind of are left on the side of the road. Even the president has said, you know, we can't have that kind of pricing going on. That's not real R&D. And I'll make it even worse, Tommy. You know, who's paying for the basic research that these companies use to discover these drugs?
I would guess the federal government.
That's right. Yep. It's not the company. So if you're going to use money from the National Institutes of Health to do the basic research, then I think you got some obligation to either make it affordable or put some of the profits back into the pot. One other gripe. You know, we're subsidizing the rest of the world on cost of research. Nobody pays the prices we do for drugs anywhere in the world, not even close. So Singapore or Japan or Austria or France, we're really going to subsidize research so that they can have affordable, cheap drugs and we can't? Makes no sense.
Quickly, before we let you go, because we both have to move on, but to put it in the terms that people understand here, is it any different than after a hurricane, somebody charging $100 a gallon for gasoline because they have it and people need it?
It's different because it's not after the hurricane. It's going on every day. This is not emergency pricing. It's not shifting to winter gasoline that costs more. This is just the market not working right. And the easiest thing we could do is ask the politicians to negotiate prices. Use that leverage they have in Medicare, in Medicaid, at the VA, at the DOD, and combine their purchasing power. They buy a lot of drugs and get those prices down. Right now, we don't bargain. The rest of the world does. We're the saps.
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate your time, as always.
Hey, my pleasure.
Have a nice Thanksgiving.
You too.
All right, Dr. Art Kaplan, Director of the Medical Ethics Program at the NYU Langone Medical Center.